that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit-free.
It's Friday, September 2nd, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians fell again to the Baltimore Orioles, the lead in the American League Central, down to one game now as they reset and start a weekend series against Seattle. Last night, it was Shane Bieber on the mound, and before you knew it, Shane Bieber was behind, giving up a home run on the very first pitch of the game to Cedric Mullins. Bieber totaled three home runs allowed in the ballgame, and the Guardians go on to lose because the offense, again, can't score. Another shutout, 3-0 against Baltimore.
Yeah, Joe, another disappointing game, and they're really showing all the classic signs of being in a slump, and this slump couldn't come at a worse time for the Guardians as they go into September, like you said, trying to protect a one-game lead in the division and facing some really, really tough teams.
Yeah, coming back and having to face Seattle again is going to be tough this weekend, but the Baltimore was a team that you really can't overlook. If you think about it right now, record-wise, Baltimore would be in first place in the American League Central if they played there instead of the East.
Yeah, that's amazing. They'd be 70-61. The Guardians are 68-62. You know, they've done a turnaround. The Orioles, in a really tough division. They're fighting for that third wild card spot. I think they're a game and a half behind Toronto. You know, they're a legitimate team, and I don't know, Joe. I mean, is Kyle Bradish really that good, and Jordan Lyles really that good to throw 18 consecutive scoreless innings against the Guardians, is the Guardians offense that bad? I mean, those aren't exactly household names. You know, Bradish is a rookie. Lyles has been around a while, but they both look like, Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax last night, in this series.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of the Orioles pitching, coming together and looking pretty good. Their bullpen is also really strong, really solid. But it's more a case of the Guardians offense just, really not being able to find its bat with both hands, I think, is the case. The top of the order, which when things work and things are going well, Stephen Kwan, Ahmed Rosario, Jose Ramirez are getting on base and causing a lot of traffic and a lot of havoc for pitchers. That wasn't the case in this three-game series. Other than the opener on Tuesday for maybe like one inning, they really didn't put a lot of pressure on Baltimore's pitching, and that was a problem. If you let if you let Jordan Lyles, if you let Kyle Bradish go out there and throw free and easy, which it looked like they were doing, they're going to find a rhythm and they're going to beat you. And that's true of any pitching staff in the major leagues, whether it's Baltimore or Seattle or Chicago or, God forbid, Minnesota, who they're going to have to face eight times in 12 days. So, Yeah, it's a bad sign when the offense is trending the way it's trending. They haven't looked like this really since the early part of July, when they lost back-to-back series against Detroit and Kansas City, and then came out of things and played really well for about a month.
Yeah, Joe, definitely. And a guy like Kwan only had one hit in this series. And he's a rookie, although you don't think of him as a rookie, but he might be getting a little tired. I don't know. I mean, it's just he plays so hard and he's not that big a guy, but if he doesn't get on base, Joe, this offense doesn't go, like you were saying. Rosario only had a couple hits in the series. Those top three guys, Ramirez, was pretty much quiet as well. So if you control those top three guys in the batting in the lineup, the Guardians are sunk.
And you mentioned Kwan. Some of these rookies maybe they've logged a lot of games. This is about the time of year in the minor leagues when things start to taper off and wind down. So maybe playing an extended month, a little extra, is gonna show up on some of these young guys. With Kwan, if you want to give him a couple of days, get him off his feet, or just get him some rest. Well, September is supposed to be the time you can do that when you can call up the reserves and get extra guys in there. So ideally, they called up Ernie Clement because that makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah, I've been saying all along that they really could have benefited from the old rules where you could, expand the rosters on September 1st to, I'm not saying they would go with 40 players, but you could add, like 10, 8 or 10 or 12 players and give some of these guys a rest. But you can only add two now, and Cody Morris and Ernie Clement are the two additions, a right-hander and a utility infielder. And I don't think that, caught the Twins' attention, Joe. I don't think, that caused any worry in the Twins' locker room. And I'm not taking a shot at Morris or Clement, but if you're looking for some offensive help, I think they've got other options at Columbus they could have used.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Morris, I'm excited to see his debut. I'm excited to see what he can do at the major league level, but that's more of as a tease for, next season and how he can help the club next year. More so than, they're not going to be pitching him down this stretch run in high leverage situations or in games where, they need somebody to go out there and give them a good inning or two. He's going to make his debut in a game where they're either up or behind by a lot of runs, and they're going to ease him in and ease his workload because he's still coming off of an injury. And Ernie Clement, you know what you've got there. You've got a guy who can sit for a week if you need him to sit for a week. He can come in and play, and he does really well defensively, and he can play even the outfield if you need him to. If you need to put him out in left field, maybe against a lefty on a day that you give Stephen Kwan a breather, but he's not the guy who jumps off the page. And Tito even pretty much alluded to it. And we know Tito likes Ernie, but he said, Ernie can give you that flexibility, but they sort of know what they have with Ernie.
Yeah, they know what they have with Ernie. They bring him up. He can, like you said, you can play him all over the place. Probably a little more experienced than Kyle Freeman. You can use him as that utility role. And you get to let guys like Bo Naylor and Gabriel Arias and who's the Will Brennan. They can keep playing every day in Columbus. The Columbus season stretches, I think, ends on September 20th. They're probably going to make the postseason. So, you could still interchange those guys and bring those guys up, but I think they wanted to let those guys play every day instead of coming up here and sitting on the bench. And that makes some sense, but you're also in a playoff race here. You're in a run here, and you're in a rut. You need some, it looks like to me, they could use an injection of some offense on the big league club.
Right. Bo Naylor, Will Brennan, Gabriel Arias possibly would all, maybe be upgrades offensively over Clement, over right now over a Tyler Freeman who's up here and sitting on the bench. but they don't want to pull the trigger. And Tito pretty much said it outright when you asked him in the pregame yesterday about a catcher being a position that you could promote. He said, you know, without mentioning specific names, it's better to let those guys play and play out the season playing every day. So, yeah, it looks like no Bo Naylor this year. And I'm okay with that. I'm all right with it. As long as Hedgie and Maley, they seem to have sort of picked things up a little bit later in second half of the season, offensively at the plate. They're the guys that you would be starting in those games anyways. They're the veteran guys who the pitchers really trust. I would worry about my pitching staff if Bo Naylor came up and was catching, you know, important games against the Twins down the stretch. That to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's a good point, Joe. And I think they love Naylor. They love the way he handles the staff. But, you know, you've got to respect the situation too. You got to respect the schedule and the situation the Guardians have played themselves in. They deserve that. You know, I think you have to, if you're Cleveland, you have to put your best team out there right now to give yourself a chance. And, you know, obviously, you know, they've made such a big investment in their young players. You know, they didn't add help in the offseason. They didn't add help at the trading deadline. And, you know, they're committed to these guys one way or the other. If there was the best decision or not, you know, these are the guys they got to go with.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, you know, put your best lineup out there now down this stretch run. And I asked Tito when we were in Seattle whether or not this was the time of year where you start to sort of taper those lineups and play those guys regularly instead of, you know, mixing and matching as much. And he sort of wanted to say that, no, I'm still going to play, you know, depending on my lineup, depending on the situation. But, you know, over the last couple of days, we've seen his lineups come out and they look very similar, the same guys batting in the same spots and getting the innings and the playing time. Particularly, we saw Miles Straw go back into the starting lineup last night. So, you know, maybe that sends the message that, hey, you know, I've got to put the winning lineup, the best lineup out there. Generally, you can go by the lineup that he uses with Shane Bieber on the mound as what he thinks is his best lineup on a regular basis.
That's a good observation. I didn't think about that. I was wondering how Straw worked his way back into the lineup already. I thought he was going to be on the bench for a while. It'll be interesting to see how much he plays this weekend because, you know, his swing looked the same, Joe, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had a lot of time to get this straightened out, and I don't know if he will, you know, this year. I mean, he is in such a rut that this might take a whole off season to get him back to normal. But hopefully he finds it. And Benson can go get the ball, and we've seen that in center field. We just haven't seen the offense he showed, you know, at Triple A.
Right, yeah, and like we talked about that before. Every time Benson levels up, it takes an adjustment period, and I think he's still seeing that. You know, you hope that it's an accelerated adjustment period here, that he gets it quicker, but, you know, it might be before the end of the season. He might have to, you know, go into the offseason before any of that is he sort of picks things up and has it click in the majors. As far as injuries go, right now the Guardians are in pretty good shape, and they have been all year. Really, with Cody Morris coming off the injured list, the only name on the injured list, the only name on the injury report, is Anthony Gose right now. And Tito provided an update yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. It seems so weird to, you know, every team in the big leagues has like 14 guys on the injured list. The Guardians are really, you know, not really fortunate when it's come to injuries this year. But Ghost, you know, received an injection in his left elbow of a lubricant, you know, to give him some more movement in there. Hopefully, you know, this will get him over the hump and he can start throwing again. But, you know, if this doesn't take, Joe, you know, Francona said they'll probably get a second opinion. And that did not sound good to me. That sounded like something, you know, that may result in surgery. I mean, you know, that's just me speculating, but I think, you know, that's probably the next step, because he's been on the injured list, what, since July 3rd?
Yeah, that's it's been a while. He's been there, but I'll tell you, Tito gave Ghost credit. He said every day he shows up at the park, Tito shows up at the park, and Ghost is already there working out with trainers, working, trying to get it better. He just wants to get out and pitch again so badly. It's just right now, it's not, you know, physically, it's not there. So, yeah, that's at least one big positive right now, is that the Guardians have going for them is the health of everybody on the roster and in the farm system. Things are looking good in that sort of direction. Twins and White Sox open up a series against each other this weekend. So, what would be better, to have Chicago sweep that series, or and get some sort of momentum going on their side, or would it be better to maybe have them split, take two out of three, and have the Twins lose a couple of games at least?
Yeah, I'd like to see the White Sox take that series, Joe. I think the White Sox are four games back right now. They're 3-7 in their last 10. You know, Fangraphs has them at 11.4% chance of winning the Central. But the Twins are 6-4 against Chicago. Chicago's going with Martin, Cease, and Giolito. So, you know, you're getting two of their best starters there. It would be nice if Chicago could just kind of take a bite out of the Twins. Maybe not sweep them, but take two out of three. And, you know, take some heat off the Guardians.
Yeah, and they're doing it again without Tony La Russa, who is indefinitely away from the team after undergoing some medical tests. So we'll monitor that series and that situation all weekend. Tito, before the game yesterday, Tito woke up on September 1st, the morning of September 1st, and, you know, flipped his calendar over and said, okay, let's get going. It's a new month. September baseball is different. So he decided to hold a real quick team meeting yesterday, right around 4 o'clock. He gathered the troops in the Guardians clubhouse. His remarks were short, but they were direct. He told them to sort of embrace the moment. They listened to him by going out and not scoring any runs. However, you know, he picked September 1st as sort of the moment. He doesn't give a lot of, you know, speeches or hold a lot of closed door meetings or anything like that. But you can tell Tito recognizes, and he needs to communicate to these young guys, hey, you're in it now. Let's get going. And that message was heard. I don't know how well it was received last night, you know, when they went out there and played.
Yeah, Joe, that's what I really love about Francona. You know, the guy's 62, 63 years old. He's a baseball lifer. He's been through these things so many times, but you can still see that, you know, being in contention on September 1st, you know, having a 1.5 game lead, which is now a 1-game lead in the division, that geeks him up. You know, he gets fired up, and I think he likes to come to the ballpark, you know, knowing that every game you play from here on out is going to, you know, be a significant game. And I think he wanted to pass that along to the team, to the players, you know, to enjoy it, to like you said, embrace the moment. And, you know, kind of to look back on what you accomplished, but also concentrate on what's ahead. And, you know, I think that's a great message for a young team. Now they just have to apply it. They've got to, you know, they've got to win some games.
Yeah, he looked out over the room and saw their faces and said, you know, hey, I don't know how much playoff experience you guys have or how many big games you guys have played in, but that doesn't mean you can't go out there and win. That was pretty much as he came in to talk to the reporters after that meeting. He pretty much told us what he said, and you know, that fired me up. It made me ready to go out and report on the final you know, month's worth of games there. Yeah, beat writers need an inspirational speech every once in a while too. So it was good to get some words of encouragement from Tito there. To finish strong this season as we go down the stretch. You feeling it, Hoynesy? You feeling the energy now? September energy?
I don't know, Joe. I'm feeling a little bit of energy. I think I need to watch Patton or something, you know, with him when he's giving that speech in front of the huge American flag. Maybe that'll get me fired up.
no better way to draw in listeners to our podcast who are in the age range of, you know, 30 to 55 then to talk about a movie from the 70s featuring George C. Scott about World War II. It's Hoynesy always up on the cutting edge of current events. I think it's great for our listeners. Hey, speaking of our listeners, our subscribers on Subtext, it's a great place to get updates and great place to get the latest information on your Guardians and really the race in the AL Central. You get direct text messages from myself and from Hoynesy. And as we come out of Tito, his press conferences and his pregame meetings and everything that we know, you know immediately. You can subscribe by going to cleveland.com/subtext or by sending a text message to 216-208-4346. It's $3.99 a month, but you get it's better than Twitter. You get faster and more inside information than you would if you just follow along on Twitter. Subscribe to cleveland.com/subtext. Hoynesy, we've had a lot of fun just chatting back and forth with the subscribers so far this year.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you get, you know, Joe, I don't know about you, but I get some good story ideas or question ideas from the subscribers, because these people, you know, men and women, they're diehard Cleveland fans, Guardians fans. I mean, some of them still are, you know, don't like the name change, but, you know, they're all on board. You know, this is in the lunatic fringe, but these are diehards. These are real baseball fans, and it's cool to talk to them.
It's great. It's not like I'm just going to, you know, parrot back any questions they have for Tito, but at least gets you thinking along the lines of you know, what the readers want to hear about and what they want to read about. So, yeah, the subscribers are a goldmine for us in terms of, you know, knowing what our readers want to know and sort of giving them that. So, hats off to them and thanks. And hats off to the Guardians. Hopefully we see some runs scored tonight. Tall order, you know, going up against Luis Castillo again. You get the rematch, Zach Plesac, Luis Castillo, Savali and Robbie Ray on Saturday, and Cal Quantrill versus the rookie George Kirby on Sunday. Should be a fun weekend at the ballpark. Some giveaways, some fireworks. You know, it's Labor Day weekend. A lot to look forward to at the park this week.
Yeah, definitely. And it sounds like there's going to be some good crowds down there. And they really need that. You know, I think the Guardians, you know, when they're on the road, they're playing in front of big crowds like in Seattle last week. You know, they need the support of the home fans. It'll be nice to see a Progressive Field, you know, maybe not packed, but at least, you know, really, you know, three-fourths of a way filled up. That'd be great.
All right, Hoynesy, we will check in again on Monday here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.